Good evening, everyone. How are you? The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and tonight I'm feeling unusually unstable. There's a side of me that is saddened, as if I'm about to come to the last day of a great vacation. Have enjoyed every minute of what we've done here, and have appreciated you. I think the cause of truth has benefited. I hope our God has been glorified, and for the events of these last four nights, you know, I really enjoyed it. So I'm going to miss that. There's another side of me, though, that feels like I'm just ending 40 years in the wilderness, and now finally I can go back to a real life. I just thought about this and nothing else since January 1st. As a matter of fact, I just promised myself I would not think about this until we got into 2015. Then had, of course, the looming debate here at the end of February. I said, okay, I'm going to give too much to this. You know, it's about all I've done. I think I've given my life to this for that length of time. And so it's been good. And we'll look forward to one last night. Hope that it'll be as profitable as the others we trust have been. Thank you for being here. You have given God glory and honor for your presence. This is my first affirmative. I have 18 and a half minutes left now to present this proposition, that the Bible teaches the Sabbath is not part of the New Covenant and it need not be kept by Christians. But you're probably getting used to this by now. I really like this guy. He's one of my favorite people. He's everything you see on the screen, and as I've extolled his virtues now three nights, nothing has changed. He's just the most honest man I ever met, I guess. He's courageous, he's qualified, holds that master's degree, he's an ordained pastor, he's got 40 years of experience. You're not likely soon or maybe ever find a more qualified man to represent his faith. He even drove 6 hours to get here. He'd leave again in the morning for 6 hours to get back home to Hermiston there, and we do truly appreciate it. However, we have each had only 50 minutes each night, and so we have only barely begun to discuss the length and breadth of either one of these two topics we've been contemplating, whether or not there's modern-day prophecy and whether or not we need to keep the Sabbath. And so I'm truly hoping that we'll be able to do this again. Kent, a year from now, I'm up for it if you are. Okay, we'll make room in our schedule. But I really would prefer that we do this more locally if we can. I've talked to two Adventist preachers in the area here over the course of the last couple of days. Really appreciate their attendance especially. Both of them had expressed an interest in having a similar debate. And next time around, I hope that would be very soon. You know, let's do it in your building. We did it here in ours. And so nothing I like better here in another couple of months while it's still fresh on my mind to be able to present this material for the Adventists as well. And we truly are glad for the few from the Adventists, and we made our presence known, of course, that we're able to come, but maybe we can reverse that, put the shoe on the other foot, and do it again, you know, for them. Let both sides hear both sides would be my hope. One of the topics I might suggest is just this one: what must I do to be saved? As I pointed out in the first night, and I've been forced to point out for 4 years with Kent, as much as I love and appreciate him, he is not my brother in Christ. Kent is a part of a church that was not founded until the 1800s. I was corrected last night. I appreciate that. Ellen White is not the sole founder of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He's a co-founder of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But however many people were involved there, it is a church that was founded 1,800 years after Jesus Christ built his church. I'm in the Lord's church. Kent is in a different church. And so that topic, what does the Bible teach about that, would be the first thing I'd really like to discuss, you know, in our next meeting. I was asked last night, in fact, by one of the other Adventists that were here last night, did I think there were Christians in these other churches? No. I think there are only Catholics in the Catholic Church. I think there are only Baptists in the Baptist Church. I think there are only Methodists in the Methodist Church, Presbyterians in the Presbyterian Church, and Mormons in the Mormon Church. And there are only Christians in the Church of Christ. We seek to be Christians, and we're not naming ourselves after doctrines or organizations or anything above our Lord Jesus Christ. The fundamental difference in the philosophies has been on display every night. I am bound by the Scriptures. I try to only speak where the Scriptures speak, try to only practice what I can read. These other churches have all invented systems and schemes of faith and practice that you cannot read about in the Bible. Let's be debating this topic. What does the Bible say you need to do to be saved? Because entering the Adventist church, according to their church manual and the vows you must take in order to enter their church, which I have scrutinized very carefully for quite a while now, is entirely different from the conditions that are required in the Bible in order to enter the church of Christ. But we're here tonight for this proposition. The Bible teaches that the Sabbath is not part of the new covenant, and it need not be kept by Christians. So once again, as we did last night, we have two things that are on our minds. Number one, Sabbath law is not a part of the new covenant. That's the first half of this compound sentence. The second one is, a Sabbath keeping is not required of Christians. The book here is getting in my way. Let me get this over there. Okay, so for the first part, the Bible teaches that the Sabbath is not part of the new covenant. What we need to prove that proposition is just simply a New Testament passage which indicates that the Sabbath has been removed or is not required under the new covenant. We need a New Testament passage that says you don't need to keep the Sabbath. And what won't work for the Adventists, what won't work for Kent tonight as he tries to prove me wrong with regard to that proposition, is to be showing us Old Testament passages where the Jews kept the Sabbath under the Old Testament. I understand they did in the Old Testament. We're looking into the New. New Testament passages that show Jews under the Old Law keeping the Sabbath won't help us either. And New Testament passages, of which we saw quite a few last night from Kent, showing Christians in a synagogue, are not going to prove that Christians worship on a Sabbath. In Acts 2 and verse 46, I'd like to elaborate on this a little bit, didn't get the chance last night. It says that day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. That does not prove that Christians have to be in a temple every day of the week, does it? It's entirely incidental and coincidental that they were in the temple, but the fact that they were does not say that they were worshiping there, that they were bound to do that they were required to do that. In Acts 5, verse 21, we found out why they did that. They entered into the temple about daybreak and began to teach. They were in the temple teaching Jews that they did not need to do that anymore. They were teaching the Jews to get out of that old religion and come into the church of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 3, Paul wanted Timothy to go with him, and he took him, and he circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Well, I can find Paul circumcising Timothy, or having him circumcised, and I'm pretty sure that does not mean, therefore, that Christians have to be circumcised. It's got not a thing in the world to do with our requirements. We need a New Testament passage that would teach that circumcision is in the New Covenant if it's going to be required in order to be saved. There it was done for the same reason they went into the temple. It was convenient so that the Jews in the temple could hear the message and wouldn't be upset thinking their temple had been defiled by an uncircumcised man. So, those things which were done to further the gospel, those things which were done because when you're going to the Jews, then you'd be like the Jews. When you're going to the Gentiles, be like the Gentiles. Do not teach that you have to do those things in the new covenant. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 7 says, if someone sees you who have knowledge dining in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? Well, Paul could eat in an idol's temple. And I spent the last four Saturdays in Sabbatarian congregations, three of them Seventh-day Adventists and one Church of God Seventh-day. And I'm real sure this did not make Paul an idolater, did not require idolatry or eating in idols' temples as a part of Christianity. And my four Saturdays with Sabbatarian groups did not make me a Sabbath keeper. My three Saturdays with the Seventh-day Adventists did not make me a Seventh-day Adventist. So what we need is for the second part, any New Testament passage that indicates the Sabbath has been removed or is not required under the New Covenant. The exact same thing we need for the first part. That's why we don't offer animals. That's why we don't circumcise. Because in the New Covenant, we are not told so to do. We need Scripture. Now then, Here's what would prove me wrong. I asked for it three times last night. Any New Testament passage that commands the Sabbath, anyone at all, just one, would do the trick. That's what Kent needs to provide for us tonight. I'd like to thank Jerry Bassett for putting an idea in my ear last night. If we are to think about a timeline from eternity, that is before creation, and into eternity after this world is wrapped up like a garment and thrown away, we know that Adam came into being, but I don't know when, I can't put a date on it. I know that Moses was walking the earth around about 1500 B.C., and that for the approximately 2500 plus years between Adam and Moses, there is not one occurrence of anybody keeping a Sabbath. The word Sabbath is not found in the pages of Scripture. There's no command to keep it. There's no explanation of how to keep it. And there's no penalty if you don't. Throughout all of Genesis and the first 15 chapters of Exodus. Then Christ came in 0 AD or 0 BC, whichever you prefer. Okay? And Matthew, Mark, and Luke speak of his life as a Jew, sent to the Jews, born under the law, one who kept the law, till he died and then rose from the dead. And come Acts chapter 2, things are changing now. Peter's using the keys of the kingdom. Moses' law has come to an end. But for the 1500 years from Moses to Acts chapter 2, we have a period of time in which the Sabbath is being kept by Jews and nobody else. If it was being kept by anybody else, we'd have a verse that said so. Christianity then follows 2,000 years now. And what we've learned is that during this first age of about 2,500 plus years, what's typically in most churches referred to as the age of the patriarchs, there was no Sabbath. That's a fact. You cannot read it in your Bible. You must invent it. You must add it to the Bible. You must assume it, presume it. You must imagine it, but you cannot read it. Then came the law of Moses. The Jews alone, not the Gentiles, were under that law, unless some very few became proselytes. Then they'd have to keep it, and they'd have to be circumcised too. But it wasn't sent to the Gentiles, it was sent to the Jews. And suddenly we have a Jewish Sabbath. Then, from the law of Christ, as Romans 7 calls it, where Jews and Gentiles come together because the old borderline between them has been done away. Again, there is no Sabbath. And if there was any command, Kent Knight is as qualified as any Seventh-day Adventist breathing today to show us where that passage is. Maybe tonight. So, what do we need? We need a New Testament passage indicating that the Sabbath has been removed or is not required under the new covenant. And that passage is Colossians 2 and verse 16. It is Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16. I see everybody wiggling. I see pages turning. I see pencils waggling. I know that you're going to get over there. Here's what it says. Let no one, no matter how nice they are, no matter what church they preach for, no matter how long they've been preaching, no matter what degrees they have, no matter how much you love them, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink. We saw last night, Jesus declared all foods to be clean. Seventh-day Adventists do not believe this. You must take a vow before they will baptize you that you will avoid unclean foods, which they don't stipulate in the vow what they are. But they believe that there are foods that are still unclean, and you must too, or they will not let you in. Jesus made all foods clean. Don't let anybody judge you with regard to food or drink. Or, in respect to a festival, a new moon, or a Sabbath day. Now, I submit to you that the passage we need to prove my point has just been read. And I'll give you two more before the night's over. The passage that says you must keep the Sabbath cannot be found, or Kent Shirley would have produced it. It goes on to say in Colossians 2:17, these things, food, drink, festivals, new moons, and those Sabbath days were a mere shadow of what is to come. But the substance, belongs to Christ. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize. That's heaven itself, brethren, and that's why I'm so solicitous of Kent's feelings, and I seek to help him to appreciate I act only and purely out of love. He has been defrauded of the prize. There was one who delighted in self-abasement, though she didn't claim worship of the angels. She certainly took her stand on visions that she claimed to have seen, inflated without cause by her fleshly mind. And that is a major problem. So that was the first two nights we talked about that, and that thought could be developed, you know, at very great length. But whether it's Ellen White or Joseph Smith or the Watchtower Society or anybody else you want to pick, the passage which says that Christians do not have to keep the Sabbath, and don't you let anybody judge you and say you must, is Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16. Now then, if you're to drive out the Jasper Lowell Road and get just a couple of miles out beyond Jasper, you'll find that on the left-hand side there by the sawmill, and just after the right-hand side where the Seventh-day Adventists have a school, there's an organization there called Light Bearers, and the second one sharing the same building called Arise. That's their website. I'm zooming in on it right now, where I got this mission statement. Arise exists to equip, educate, and empower effective soul winners. What Arise is a 13-week program which young men and women spend, for their own money, $4,500 tuition to have a dorm room and about half of their meals for 13 weeks. They'll have to pay for the rest of those meals and any other incidentals to support their life. But they are there so that they might be trained to be effective evangelists for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. A couple of those young men, about a year or so ago, knocked on June Roberts' door. She, of course, invited them in. We had several studies, two or three nights, as I recall, and they introduced me to the book that you see before you. They told me with great confidence what I told you about the date of Revelation. Said, if you haven't read Before Jerusalem Fell by Kenneth Gentry, then you've never studied the dating of Revelation. If you're saying that it's a late date and you've never read all the evidence there for the early date, well then, you know, you haven't seen both sides of the story. And they said, well, this is it. This book proves that Colossians 2:16, I didn't put it this way, but I'll put words in their mouth, does not mean what it says. This book, they said, will prove that Colossians 2:16 is not talking about the weekly Sabbath in that last word. So, let me quote just a couple of things, got a minute or two to go. From that book, though, which cost me $20 when I was in, you know, buy that thing, I better have the final word if I'm going to be in a debate. So I went down and I studied that thing very, very diligently, and I found under the title History of Colossians 2:16 Interpretation, it begins like this. Over the centuries, Colossians 2:16 has been quite consistently interpreted to mean that the seventh-day Sabbath has been abolished and is no longer binding on Christians. In a fragment attributed to Irenaeus, circa AD 130 to 200, quote, the feast day or the new moons or the Sabbath, end quote, of Colossians 2:16 are referenced in an attempt to discourage Christians from keeping, quote, these feasts and fasts, end quote, which Irenaeus contends are, begin quote, displeasing to the Lord, end quote. Augustine, writing around AD 40, continued this trend, claiming that this text shows we are no longer bound to them. That is the feast, as well as the weekly Sabbath. Should be feast, plural. Augustine then concluded, the rest of the observance, now that the hope of our eternal rest, excuse me, I get that right, the rest of the Sabbath, we consider no longer binding as an observance, now that the hope of our eternal rest has been revealed. And they're quite right. All history is against them. Here, that was page 2, here's page 4. These representative selections illustrate that throughout the history of the Christian church, Colossians 2:16 has been regularly regarded as a text which teaches that the seventh-day Sabbath was abrogated and therefore is no longer binding on Christians. Under the title, The Task in the Text, on page 9 this book says, the vast majority of Christian scholars now and in the past, have come to the conclusion that Colossians 2:16 clearly indicates that the observance of the weekly Sabbath is not obligatory for Christians. And finally, under perspectives of the majority of scholars, quote, page 56, of these 92 commentaries, 88 assume, imply, or directly claim that the Sabbatah in Colossians 2:16 refers to the Seventh-day Sabbath. He is absolutely right. All of history, all the scholars say four, at least two of which I believe were Seventh-day Adventist commentaries, are again the idea that we are not talking about the weekly Sabbath in Colossians 2:16. And this book was written because they know it says what it says. Thank you.